Bhagavad Gita? Yes, to read the translate, read the purports. Or else I can. Do we have a net connection here? Internet connection?
Yes.
I can read from online. So let Prabhuji come. I have the connection, is already. I got it. So we have, I have it here. So it's the we have the 9th chapter, right? And verse 34. Yeah, this is fine. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपदा 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 श्रील प्रभुपदा नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल नितय गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल हरे कृष्ण. So I welcome all of you for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. I really apologize because I am having some cough, so I might cough in the middle. And that might cause some of the interruptions, you know, while hearing. So I beg your pardon. So please pardon me and bear with me. Okay. So we are reading from excuse me. We are reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 34. The name of the chapter is The Most Confidential Knowledge. And the verse is Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Evaishad Yuktaivam Atmanam Mata Para Yana. Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Evayasi Yuktaivam Atmanam Mata Para Yana. So, please repeat word by word translation. Manmana, always thinking of me. Bhava, become. Mat, my. Bhakta, devotee. Mat, my. Yaji, worshipper. Mam, unto me. Namaskuru, offer obeisances. Mam, unto me. Eva, completely. Asyasi, you will come. Yuktva, being absorbed. Evam, thus. Atmanam, your soul. Matparayana, devoted to me. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances unto me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me.
Yeah. Для этого нужно постоянно углублять свои знания о Кришне. Что это значит? Это значит, что знания нужно получать от истинного духовного учителя. Кришна – верховная личность Бога, и как мы неоднократно говорили, его тело нематериально, оно вечно исполнено знания и блаженства. Такие беседы о Кришне помогут нам стать его преданными, а знания о Кришне получить и полученные из неавторитетного источника не принесут никакого результата. Поэтому преданный должен сосредоточить ум на вечном изначальном образе Кришны и поклоняясь ему с непоколебимой верой в то, что Кришна – верховная личность Бога. В Индии есть сотни тысяч храмов, в которых люди поклоняются Кришне и занимаются преданным служением. Тот, кто таким образом служит Господу, должен всегда выражать ему свое почтение. Склоняясь перед Божеством, человек должен служить Господу телом, умом и всеми своими поступками. Таким образом, он всегда будет поглощен мыслями о Кришне, не думая ни о чем другом, и в конце концов перенесется на Кришну Йогу. Мы не должны позволять недобросовестным комментаторам обманывать нас. Вместо этого нужно всегда заниматься 9 видами преданного служения, которые начинаются с слушания и повторения повествования Кришны. Чистое преданное служение – это высшее достижение человека. В 7-8 главах Бхагавад-гиты шла речь о чистом преданном служении Господу, свободном от тенденции к спекулятивному философствованию, мистической йоге и кармической деятельности. Те, чье сознание очищено не полностью, могут привлекать другие аспекты Господа, такие как Брахма-джьоти и Параматма в сердце каждого живого существа. Но чистый преданный служит только Верховному Господу. В одном замечательном стихотворении о Кришне говорится, что люди, поклоняющиеся полубогам, не имеют разума и лишают себя возможности получить от Кришны высшую награду. Действия начинающего преданного могут иногда не соответствовать каталону чистого преданного служения, но он все равно стоит выше любых философов и йогов. Того, кто постоянно занят деятельностью сознания Кришны, следует считать святым человеком. Он будет все реже и реже совершать случайные проступки и в скором времени обязательно достигнет совершенства. Чистые преданные практически лишены возможности пасть, и их опекает сам Верховный Господь. Поэтому разумный человек должен встать на путь сознания Кришны и счастливо жить в материальном мире. Слушая, он получит высшую награду Кришну.
Харе Кришна. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for reading the translation. So, this verse from chapter 9, text 34. Man manabhava mukta bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mam evasvai yuktaivam atmanam mata parayana is the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. It is the essence of essence of essence of essence. Four times essence. Why? Let's try to understand each essence. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. Hence it is called Gita Upanishad. It is also called the essence of Vedas. Hence Gita is also called Vedasar. So first essence. So this Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, right? So first 6 chapters, then middle 6, and the next 6. So the essence of Bhagavad Gita lies in the middle 6 chapter, the second essence. What are the middle 6 chapter from chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? What is the essence of all these 6 chapters? The chapter number 9, the third essence. Because what is the name of the chapter? The most confidential knowledge. And the chapter 9 has 34 verses. And the most essence of all these 34 verses is the verse number 34 that we are reading today. So the fourth essence. So this verse is such an important and crucial verse of Bhagavad Gita that this verse is spoken in Bhagavad Gita twice by Krishna. Krishna speaks Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskaru twice in Bhagavad Gita. First in the 9.34, 9th chapter text 34, and second time in chapter 1865. Second time, and this is 9:34. Yes. So something which is important has to be repeated in the end. Because in the 18th chapter, Krishna is summarizing the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And that's why this verse is Krishna is again speaking in the 18th chapter, because this is a very important message that Krishna is wanting to give. For example, whenever teacher teaches in the class, okay, she starts with her teaching, but in the end, she says, she writes a summary, some key takeaway messages. So similarly, Krishna is giving a key takeaway summary of Bhagavad Gita by stressing this verse again in the 18th chapter. So hence, this verse becomes the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. But what about the verse Sarva Dharman Parityajya in 1866? Because we have been hearing that Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Am Tam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshisyami Masucha is the most important verse, or in fact is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Then how does this verse also becomes the essence? But if we understand the purport of these two verses, both the verses are same. Sarva Dharman Parityajya is the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. But this verse, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto, tells us what are the important components of surrender. So after a devotee is completely surrendered, what he should do next? So Krishna gives four confidential instructions what a devotee should do after he surrenders.
Krishna,
Since the name of the chapter is the most confidential knowledge, so there must have to be some most confidential instructions somewhere in this chapter. And these are the most four confidential instructions. What is the first confidential instruction? Engage your mind in always thinking of me. Second, become my devotee. Third, offer obeisances to me. And fourth, worship me. Four confidential instructions. This verse has also been glorified by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha Krishna, through this verse has conveyed some of the most important instructions to the world. In the loving devotion service to Radha and Krishna. So now let us try to understand these four instructions one by one. First instruction is that always think about me. How can a devotee always think about Krishna? It is so difficult to think about Krishna 24/7, 365 days a year. Because our mind is absorbed in thinking so many other things. We regret about the past and we worry about the future, and our mind is never in present. We think about so many things. We think about what that devotee said to me, or we think about our bills or our rents or our insurance, so on and so forth. So in such difficulty, how can one actually remember Krishna? This is the highest platform of perfection in devotion service, that you remember Krishna 24/7. The best example is being demonstrated by the gopis of Vrindavan. They were helplessly thinking of Krishna all the time throughout their life, 24/7. Another example we see in Srimad Bhagavatam is Prahlad Maharaj, who was always remembered, who was always remembering Krishna, Vishnu Smaranam. Always thinking of Krishna also means that we have to engage all our senses in Krishna's service actively. Like Maharaj Amrish, he used his eyes to see the beautiful form of Krishna, ears to hear about Krishna, smell to smell the various fragrances coming from the beautiful flowers offered to Krishna. And this is how Prahlad Maharaj and all these great devotees, they achieved perfection just by thinking, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even we see that Kamsa was also thinking about Krishna. But why Kamsa is not considered to be a devotee? He is a demon. So then an explanation is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the first class devotional service is performed when a devotee favorably thinks about Krishna. So Kamsa's thinking of Krishna is not considered to be as a first class devotional service. Because Kamsa was always making plans, how should I kill Krishna? So this brings us to a very important question. What does it mean to think favorably about Krishna? Any answers? What do you think? What does it mean to think favorably about Krishna? Yes, Prabhu. Okay, good answer. Any other answers? What? Yes. Yes, very good. Good answer. Yes. Okay, very good. Yes. And what else? You are very close. So, desire to serve. Hari Bol, please him. Yes. So what does it mean to think favorably about Krishna? Means with a desire, thinking with a desire to please Krishna. That is called thinking favorably about Krishna. All the answers given, to this question were correct, because in Krishna consciousness, more than one answers are correct. Unlike in material world, whether there is a right, wrong, okay, it is a full of dualities. There has to be right or wrong. But in Krishna consciousness, this is right and this is also right. So yes, we should. So thinking favorably means that I want to please Krishna. But that brings us to another question. Can we actually please Krishna all the time? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an explanation to this. He says that there is a difference between actually pleasing Krishna and wanting to please Krishna. And wanting to please Krishna or the desire to please Krishna is considered to be even more greater. He gives an example of the demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, as we know that they were pure devotees. They were Jaya and Vijay of Vaikuntha. But just to assist
Lord, in his pastimes, they played the role of demons. And while fighting with Krishna, they were giving pleasure to Krishna. So Krishna was getting pleasure in fighting with them. But being demons, do you think that they were wanting to please Krishna? No. Their intention was not to please Krishna. Their intention was to kill Krishna. On the other hand, an example is given of Yashoda Mai. So Yashoda Mai used to scold Krishna that, hey, come for lunch, you know, you are still playing with your cowherd boys. Scold. So she should shout at Krishna. So on one hand, you have Yashoda Mai calling Krishna home. But on other hand, you have his cowherd friends telling Krishna, please come and play with us. And then Krishna would decide, I will play more with my friends. And then Yashoda Mai would become very, very angry on Krishna. And she would shout, Krishna, please come home for lunch. And then Krishna used to become very upset with Yashoda Mai that she is not allowing me to play with my cowherd boys. And with some upset in his heart, he used to go home. But Yashoda Mai did that out of love. So here is an example where she was not actually pleasing Krishna because Krishna was upset. He was not given a chance to play with his cowherd boys. But Yashoda Mai's desire was wanting to please Krishna. So that is the difference. So more important is wanting to please Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left Jagannath Puri, there was a brahmachari named Narsinghananda Brahmachari who became very, very disappointed. Narsimhananda Brahmachari. He was thinking that how would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be traveling in the hot sun? Hot sun, yes. How would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be traveling on the hot sand? His lotus feet might get burnt. He might be feeling thirsty. So he was very, very disappointed, Narsimhananda Brahmachari. So what he did was, he just sat down in meditation. And he meditated that the road on which Mahaprabhu is walking is made up of gold and diamonds. There are some beautiful trees on the path that is giving nice shade to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also meditated that there are some beautiful lakes and with nice lotuses.
Mm-hmm.
with nice fragrances and with birds going around, making some nice sweet sounds. He was meditating a very pleasing atmosphere for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually that happened, that manifested actually in reality. And then he, in his meditation, he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped at a place called Kanai Natshala. Kanai Natshala. Yes, and that's how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that I will not go beyond Kanai Natshala. So here is another example of Narasinghananda Brahmachari who couldn't actually please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had a desire, he was wanting to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So hence, Lord fulfilled his desire. So now let us be practical and think that how can we engage ourselves in thinking about Krishna? Now this answer actually comes by realizations. So different devotees would give you different answers based on their different sweet realizations. And all answers will be correct. So one of the important ways to think about Krishna all the time is that we have to give more importance to the first two processes of devotional service, which is hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. The beginning is that if we want to constantly engage our mind in thinking about Krishna, because the devotional service begins with Shravanam, then Kirtanam, and then we have Vishnu Smaranam, which is remembering Vishnu. So once we chant very, very attentively in the morning and we hear what we chant, then throughout the day we can remember Krishna better and better. But now Krishna also says that remembrance and forgetfulness comes from me. So one might ask a question that in this verse, Krishna is asking me to remember him. But then why does Krishna also give forgetfulness to the living entities? Why does a living entity forget Krishna? When Krishna wants that living entity to remember him. This is a little contradictory. So I would like to ask the audience that why does Krishna make a living entity forget him?
Yes, any answers, please? Absolutely. Perfect. The right answer. Actually, Krishna doesn't want the living entities to forget him, but it's the desire of the living entities that they want to enjoy separately from Krishna. And Krishna is very, very attractive. So if you want to enjoy separately, you have to forget him. Because once you are attracted to Krishna, you cannot enjoy the material world. So that's why to fulfill the desire of the living entities, Krishna gives him forgetfulness. So now we come to the next important instruction, to become my devotee. So how does one become a devotee? By observing the 9 processes of devotional service. So can we just quickly go around and start with the 9 process? So I say Shravanam, next. Yes, Prabhu. Haribol, yes. What's the next one? Padasevanam, then? Dasyam, yes. And we have one more. Archanam, Jai, yes. So 9 processes of devotional service. So through this 9 processes of devotional service, following them very, very sincerely, one can become a devotee. Then the next instruction given by Krishna is that always worship me. So what are the various ways of worshipping Krishna? You can offer him incense, you can offer him flower, you can offer him bhoga. You can dress him very nicely, or you can clean his altar. There are so many ways of worshipping Krishna. But Krishna says in Gita that gives a very simple formula for worshipping him. He says, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Yome bhakta prayachasi. So Krishna says that just offer me patram pushpam phalam toyam means a leaf, pushpam means flower, patram means leaf, pushpam means flower, phalam means fruit, and toyam means water, with love and devotion. And when it is offered with love and devotion, Krishna will accept it. Right? And what is the 4th instruction which is given by Krishna? Offer obeisances unto him. It is a very, very important Vaishnava etiquette to offer obeisances to the Lord. Because one obeisance you offer to the Lord, it can destroy millions of your sins. One obeisance you offer to Krishna are even greater than millions of Ashwamedh yajna performed.
And just imagine, when you offer the obeisances in holy dham like Vrindavan and Mayapur, the effect is even million times more. Mayapur is such a merciful dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy just flows everywhere. In Mayapur, even if you sleep, you still get the benefit, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinks that you are offering him dandavats. So even you get benefit when you sleep. It's like offering dandavats in Mayapur. That's the glories of this Mayapur Dham, and that's the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There are various ways of offering dandavats. One way is, the simplest way is to fold your hands and offer your head and your hands, you know, in this way. The simplest way of offering obeisances. Next is that you offer a panchang pranam, right? Like the Matajis that they offer. And next is the ashtang pranam, which is also known as dandavat. Dandavat means that you fall flat like a rod. Dandavat. Because when you throw a rod, how the rod will fall? It will fall flat. So that's how you offer obeisances. Like, that's called dandavats. You fall down like a rod. And Rupa Goswami gives us instructions that while offering obeisances, we have to chant some mantras. When you offer obeisances to Prabhupada, we have to chant a Prabhupada mantra, pranam mantra. So when you offer dandavas to the deities, you have to chant the pranam mantras of the deities. So thus we understand from this verse the four confidential instructions given by Krishna. What is the first one? Man mana bhava madhabhakto. Always engage your mind in thinking about me. What's the second instruction given by Krishna? Become my devotee. Second instruction. What is the third instruction? Worship me. And what is the fourth one? Offer obeisances unto me. So these instructions are in the hierarchy. The topmost instruction is that always think about me. So if you cannot always think about me, then at least, you know, be my devotee and offer me some services. If it is not possible to offer services most of the time, then at least worship me, you know, with patram pushpam phalam toyam. That's the third instruction. And if it's not practical to offer this patram pushpam phalam toyam, then just offer dandavats to me, just obeisances to me. Very simple. So one instruction is, a lower instruction is also a part of a higher instruction given.
No,
But the highest instruction is manmana bhava mad bhakto. So when a devotee reaches that platform of pure devotional service where he is always able to think Krishna, then all the lower instructions automatically become perfected. So once a devotee becomes elevated and he is able to think Krishna always, 24/7. Yes, all the instructions, he becomes perfect in following all the other instructions. He becomes perfect in offering obeisances. He also worships Krishna with love and purity. And he becomes a very sincere and surrendered devotee of Krishna. So we end our class here. Any questions, any comments? Yes, it is important to have the knowledge as well. Yes. But what is more important is that to have devotion. Because if you don't have the devotion, then knowledge is a little meaningless. You will know many things that, okay, I have to come to the temple. For example, I have to say offer obeisances to Krishna. A very simple practical example. But if you don't have that devotion, then the act of offering obeisances will be a little less effective. So yes, knowledge is important, but there has to be the devotional aspect to it. For example, Hiranyakashipu had knowledge about Vedas. Hiranyakashipu knew that Vishnu is supreme because he had the knowledge of Vedas.
But why he was envious of Vishnu? Because he had no devotion. It's a devotion. It's an act of devotion. Because it's a devotee who is offering the dandavats. And a devotee is also aware about the benefits of offering a dandavat. Right? Trishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. But while offering dandavats, the mood of the devotee should be such that a devotee should not think that I will get some benefits. A devotee should think I am offering dandavats just to please Krishna, because Krishna will be pleased. So even if I get benefit or if I don't get benefit, but my dandavat should please Krishna. That is important. Yeah, that is the mood of a devotee. But it's also important that you know about the all the etiquettes and all the various the process of devotional service. Knowledge is also important. Hope it answers your question. Any more comments? Any questions? No? So we end our class here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.
Very happy. So maybe you can sing, I'll take a class.